Waddle and Sylvie. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
He's going to go up there at Pace and he's going to go, look, I know that it wasn't what we wanted. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what Matt wanted. It wasn't what Mitch wanted.
We have to learn from our failures. See it as an opportunity to improve. We believe we have the right foundation, the right pieces in place. We have to make the right decisions going forward.
Nothing that happened this year, but what we do here is we're collectively a team, and we all want to get better. And Mitch wants to get better more than anybody in this building.
He knows he needs to be more consistent. He knows he needs to play better. We know that, too. It's not all one person's. I know everybody wants to make one person the villain. It's not all just one person's fault. There's a number of factors in play here we got to sort through.
And we still believe in Mitch. And Mitch is going to work hard, and Mitch is going to take all this adversity. And I've seen it before. I believe in him, and he's going to be able to bounce back.
It's never going to be a straight line. It's never going to be linear. There's going to be ups and downs. And you see moments this year. You see games. You see him respond to adverse situations within a game. Those are signs of positive improvement. We just need to smooth out those inconsistencies.
That's what we're going to get.
Mitch is our starter, and we believe in Mitch, and we believe in the progress that he's going to continue to make.
That's exactly what we got. Waddle, I said this to Yurko the other day when we were working together before New Year's. I think it was Monday. Mitch Trubisky, and I don't know if this has been used before. Mitch Trubisky, to me, is like your average, everyday golf hack. The guy who goes out to Sportsman's in Northbrook. And he
Randy Merkin.
Yeah. He'll shoot a 98, but it's that 17th hole that he got out of the trap like Tiger Woods,
yeah,
and he made it spin back to the pin, and it was that
tap
one
par.
And it was that one shot.
Keeps you coming back.
And it keeps you coming back. Mitch Trubisky is the hack golfer that will give you that one or two throws. The throw. But did you see the throw at the end of the Denver game? Oh, did you see the throw at the end of the Vikings game?
Albeit against the second team.
But still.
Third team.
Their third team.
But still, Mitch, do you see that throw that he made to set up the game-winning field goal? Remember that drive against the Eagles in the playoff game? Throw to Allen Robinson? He's the golfer who one day will shoot the 88, but really is a 102 guy. He'll shoot 102.
He's still a 20 handicap.
Yeah, and he comes, and he'll every now and then, he'll give you that where you're like, all right, now I'm going with my buddies and I'm going back to golf tomorrow.
Now after 41 games in a Bears uniform, I mean, we're still talking about seeing moments and seeing games. It's just, I mean, it hasn't been enough. And Ryan talked about, and again, please, everyone who's listening to this, understand we take all this in context. Because what they do is significantly more important than what they say. They have the right pieces. If you have the right pieces on offense, how did you end up 29th in yards per game and 29th in points per game? I mean, okay, middle of the pack, 16th, 17th, 18th, even what you were last year, 20th.
You'd accept that.
If all of your pieces offensively are the right pieces, and we need to tweak here, we need to be more consistent there, you were bottom three. Bottom four, 32nd, 31st, 30th, bottom four in yards per game and points per game. I don't know that those two things kind of, you can process that or your pieces are in place, but you're bottom four in yards per game and points per game. I mean, something feels like,
well, that's why
it's
I get
off.
Mad when I hear Ryan Pace in that clip say, you know, there doesn't need to be a villain. We're not looking to make anyone a villain. I'm not villainizing anybody. All I want is a good offense. You know, you put all this draft capital and free agent capital into the offense, and you guys stink. And I'm a Bears fan who for years has watched stinky Bears offenses. And it's not me making anyone a villain. I don't want to blame Mitch. I want a good offense.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I want your first round draft picks, Ryan Pace, since you've been the general manager, to be the foundation of this football team. Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Mitch Trubisky, Adam Shaheen, all early picks. They're supposed to be the foundation of your picks. Those are early first-round picks who should be the studs of your football team.
Listen, this isn't moderate regression either. I mean, would you call this moderate regression or would you call this significant regression?
That's a free fall.
Yes.
You hired an offensive-minded head coach. You drafted a guy second overall to be your quarterback. You've had early first-round picks and signed guys free agency-wise. You stabilized your line, quote, and you've paid them all. And you churned out the 28th best offense?
Actually, 29th.
29, 32 in the other parts. Like, we're talking about the bottom four or five teams in the league. I don't want to make anyone a villain. I want to turn on my TV on Sunday and watch a functional Bears offense.
And listen, when I hear them talk, I got what I expected. I mean, that's what I expected, that they would accentuate whatever positives they could find, that they would show support for Mitch, and I don't have any doubt that he will be their starter when the season starts. I knew that's what they were going to tell us, which is cool, which is fine. But I also know what my eyes see me and what show me and tell me, and I also know what the stats tell me. And yeah, I have a pretty good idea of who they are right now, and it's significantly less than the image that Ryan projected the other day. But I get that. That's what you do at a press conference. Again, the thing that sticks with me is you knew you'd fired four coaches. You didn't make reference to it. You weren't honest about it. And then you released the statement talking about the four guys. Listen, I get this. In this league, there will be fall guys. If you don't meet expectations, people will lose their job. That's the nature of the business. I get all of that. But why didn't you tell everybody that when you had the press assembled? Was it because you didn't want to answer difficult questions?
Yes.
About why you fired Mark Helfrich, an offensive coordinator who doesn't call plays?
Matt Nagy, in my opinion, and I think it's cover your ass, it's CYA. And we haven't talked about it since the beginning of the show, so I'm glad you brought it up. Like, I was okay, like, again, like you just said, exactly what you just said. I was looking forward to 9:30. So 9:30, I'm looking for it on Periscope, and then on our radio station, it was there. And I listened to it, and then I was off with the kids as we were off that day. And so I was like, it's not what I wanted to hear, and there were some things that made me unhappy. But I get it. It's a press conference. I don't give a crap if you win or lose
just
a press conference.
Show
me.
Fix it before we get to Bourbon A. Fix it in Bourbon A.
So then I'm at High Five in Northbrook Court, and I'm standing there, and they're doing like a kid's New Year's Eve party where they're doing a balloon drop at noon instead of at like midnight, you know, for the little kids. And so I look at my phone, and Merkin first texts us that Helfrich and Gilbride and Hestan, which, you know, he's a pretty big name. He used to be the Bears the offensive line coach under Lovie. He was at Notre Dame. They got him. It's considered to be a huge hiring for Matt Nagy 2 years ago.
Very well regarded.
And I looked at that and I go, wait a minute. You just met the media in a news conference and you didn't want to tell them the news? All that was is you lack accountability. You, Matt Nagy, who I thought was bigger than that, and preaches family and preaches not to be a turd, if you announce at the podium, hey, by the way, guys, we can't move on to next year without tweaking the staff. And I thank Mark Helfrich, and I thank Harry Hestan, and I thank Kevin Gilbride, and I thank the assistant special teams coach, who I don't even know who he is, and I thank them because they had a big part in last year's success, but we got to move on.
Everyone would have said, I get it.
And then the questions could come. Hey, over here, Matt. Okay, you're the offensive coordinator, in theory. You call the plays. You've got the Denny's menu. Why is it Helfrich's fault?
And those are all legitimate questions.
But he didn't want to answer those.
That's the only conclusion I can come to.
Mitch gets benched in L.A. on Sunday Night Football, and he gets asked, why'd you make that throw? Why do you think he got benched? Were you really hurt? Is your hip hurt? What's going on here? Do you think that you have a future in Chicago?
Answers them all.
And he answers them all. Nagy's telling him, hey, we don't want you to have bad body language. You've had bad body language. Watch the film of your body language. Now it's time for the coach to be accountable, to stand up in front of the media and your fan base and to explain to them why he stands the problem, why you're firing Helfrich, and why you get to continue to call plays. But you didn't want to do that, Matt Nagy, and shame on you. That's a cowardly move.
I agree with you. I don't know. Again, that's why... That's the one thing from the press conference that stayed with me. I get it. You're not going to air out your quarterback. You're not. I mean, you're not going to support him. You're not going to you know, throw guys under the bus verbally. But you can at least ask, answer questions about people that you've decided to move away from.
Yeah. John's in Highland Park. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah. So my question is, as we're talking about quarterbacks and missing picks, what year was Aaron Rodgers chosen, and what number was he picked?
I think it was like 05, and he was in the 20s, like mid-20s.
And what pick did the Bears have during that year?
I think it was it was 05 or 06, and I think it was Cedric Benson, wasn't it? Did they have a high pick that year?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think they skipped. They had an opportunity to take Rodgers, and they skipped and took different quarterback.
I don't know if that was a Google.
No, I think you're right. I think Cedric Benson was the pick the year that Rodgers came out, if I'm not mistaken.
So they picked Benson instead of a quarterback.
I think so.
Everyone, yeah. I mean, look, the Bear. I always say I only care about my team. Yeah, that could have changed the course of history.
It was draft. The 2005 NFL draft. The Bears had the fourth overall pick. They took Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
Think about the Giants. How different it would have been if the Bears chose Rodgers. But there are some Bears fans who believe that if the Bears chose any of these quarterbacks, they'd still be crap because the Bears can't develop a quarterback.
Alex Smith was drafted number one overall that year, and that was the only quarterback that was taken prior to Rodgers being selected at 24, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and remember Rodgers grew up in that area, and remember how pissed he was at the 49ers?
Right. Now, if he's saying the Bears took Kyle Orton in the fourth round of that draft, so if he's trying to, you know, say in some ways that they still took a quarterback and they missed on Rodgers, yeah.
That was one thing I found in my office today, by the way, as I was cleaning it out. I found there were a ton of emails from Carmen in my show in like 05 or whatever it was. And like there, I discovered one of the emails and I kept it for our show. I'll read it tomorrow. You know, of a guy saying that it should be Orton and not Grossman. And it's just rinse and repeat in this town. It's just rinse and repeat. We're just yelling about the quarterback. Should it be this guy or that guy? Why'd we take Rex? And it's every year and we still haven't been able to get that guy.
We must have done something wrong in this town collectively. But this is like a curse.
Wait, it's like the Cubs. I was thinking about this when we brought it up, when Big Cat brought up that, wouldn't it be great if we had an early round pick and we could take
Joe Burrow.
And I'm like, dude, we had that opportunity in 2017. It was remember when people thought how the Red Sox broke their curse in 04 and then the White Sox broke their curse in 05? It was all aligned that the Cubs were the team that should have broke the curse first. Fate had it. In 03, it was the baseball gods said, it's
your turn.
Well, they ultimately they did. Yeah. But it was the Cubs' time in 03, then the Red Sox in 04, then the White Sox in 05. And the Cubs missed it because of game 6 and then game 7. The Bears were given the opportunity. This was our blessing. The 17 draft to get one of these two transformational quarterbacks. And we got the wrong guy. We had a 66.6% chance of changing our future forever, Waddle.
Pace would have the number one pick in this draft, and he'd be all over Justin Herbert.
I want to take Mad Matt because I heard him make a comment about me the other day while Meller and Abdallah were doing a great show on New Year's Eve. Hey, Mad Matt.
Yeah, glad you called in, boy, because I was just making sure you were still alive. I thought you'd be out on a balcony, you know, with a couple of cinder blocks tied around something, getting ready to pull a ripcord. Last thing I want to do is adopt your two kids for you, brother. I guarantee you that.
Terrible.
Well, listen, if I didn't tell us that, Bell, but you guys got to quit saying we never had a quarterback. We had Jim McMahon. They're like men who walked on the moon. There aren't that many of them out there. McMahon walked on the moon. He had one of the most prolific seasons a quarterback could ever have when he won. He only did it once, but it was one hell of a show, though.
He couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you ended up trading him.
Yeah,
he's got the ring to prove it. There's only like 38 of those guys on planet Earth, okay? So let's not take my guy down there. But your two boys at the helm, your coach and your GM are two of the most pathetic individuals. They're not, this isn't whatever Sylvie's calling it. These guys are hide and go seek cowards. They are lower than snakes. They had no courage to stand there and say, look, we hired this dork from KC who was a quarterback whisperer. This guy couldn't throw a ball into the ocean from the beach. He's an absolute imbecile.
Who are you talking about Nagy now?
Absolutely. He's terrible. You guys got to go look at the 12-4 season. Don't look at the stats. Look at the individual games. They lucked out in what, six of those things? Four of the wins were absolute miracles. Mitch still stunk. He was running for his life. The guy looks across the defensive line. He looks at those guys, and he sees fear. He's scared to death. Like I said, the other guys, you got we got the guy down in it. We got Breeze. You got Brady. They look across, and they see opportunity. They see victory. These guys are pathetic, man. I'm telling
you. All
right,
Mac.
We're in for 4 years.
Who's your team, by the way? You keep saying you. Who are you? Don't tell me you're a Packer fan.
No. Anybody who's a Bears fan, we're in deep trouble. We are in absolute. The Cubs are going to win the World Series before the Bears get to the championship round.
All right, Mad Mac. There you go. Mac. He's funny. He's always funny. He's out there, but he's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Don's in McHenry. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, guys, before I make my point, Sylvia, I want to give you a little hope. I'm a lifelong Kansas City Chiefs fan. I've been a Bears fan since I moved to Chicago 20 years ago. But we drafted Todd Blackledge instead of Dan Marino, and it only took 30 years before we got a good quarterback.
Yeah.
So there's hope.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Don.
You had Len Dawson, too.
Yeah, that's true. That goes back a little further. But it took a long time, and so hopefully it won't take us that long as Bears fans. But Waddle, you touched on what I wanted to say is that everybody's expecting a press conference where they say our quarterback sucks, our tight end sucks, everybody sucks. Well, yes, hopefully we get somebody to challenge Trubisky next year. But if you don't, and he has to be your starter, real good setup for a season that at the end of the previous season you stood up in front of the world and told everybody how much he sucks. So it just makes no sense. I understand the frustration, but it makes zero sense.
But, Don, let me counter with this, Don. Can Ryan Pace go up there on the podium and just say, it wasn't good enough for me, it wasn't good enough for Nagy, and it wasn't good enough for Mitch, and everyone's going to have to earn their job? I'm not promising anything to anybody.
I think that's perfectly fine, but I bet you that you'd be taking a bunch of calls, people criticizing him for not saying enough. If you did that, I mean, the guy's not. When you're losing, you're not going to win as a GM. He could stand up there and no matter what he says, he's going to get killed, deservedly so, because they just had a terrible season. My only point is that if you just kill everybody and they end up having to be your players next year because it's not fantasy football where you just pluck someone off the waiver wire. In the fantasy world, it's a real world. You may be stuck with these guys whether you want them or not, and if you destroy them, you've made it even less likely that they could bounce back.
Yeah, he said pluck, by the way. Yeah, we both looked at each other.
I wouldn't expect the general manager to tear the quarterback apart.
I didn't hear anything, nothing
shocked me about the press conference. Nothing surprised me.
I just didn't like him promising the job 7 months early. That's all fine. If that's your belief, I just thought that there should be, I believe, watching it as a guy who, I just am Team Bears. If Trubisky's great, fine. Let him earn it. Why not throw the football out there and have a good old fashioned, the best man wins? Why not? What's the harm there? What's the harm of saying we're going to improve the quarterback room and we're going to go to training camp with a purpose? And that's to see who the best player is at every position and every job is up for grabs, including Khalil Mack. Here's the football.
You've gone a little too far.
No, but I mean, he's going to win the job. You go to training camp, but let's play some football. Here's the ball, whether it's Alex Smith, whether it's the Red Rifle, whether it's Mariota and Mitch. Here you go. You're all playing preseason. What you got? Mitch, did you improve? Why can't they do that? What's the harm? Why must you give them the job again?
They're telling you how they feel. They see it differently than you. Maybe that's the answer.
Does Nagy really see it differently?
My personal belief is no, but I'm 100 miles away. But maybe Ryan does. Maybe Ryan sees it that way. Maybe he is telling you that. Maybe he's telling you that, but he will bring some. I did not hear anything that you know surprised me, other than, hey, good night. Hope you all have a good day. And then
it's time to fire some guys.
It's time to fire some people. release the press.
We'll see you at the combine.
Where's the facts? The faxes are coming out any minute now.
See, Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Freddy?
Happy holidays. Happy New Year, guys. Love you guys.
Happy New Year, Freddy.
I want to compare. Who do you feel better about? Whose future do you feel better about, Pax or Pace, as far as decision-making going forward?
I believe it or not, if this was between 2010 John Paxson and 2020 Ryan Pace, I'd go with Pax. But I believe the game is
right now.
It's over. I just believe it's over for John. I think it's time.
It's
over, Fred. He showed you by sticking and hiring with Jim Boylan and no coaching search that he is incapable of seeing it the way he used to be able to see it. And while Ryan Pace certainly isn't my favorite, I'm still going with Pace.
Sylvie. Pax has had 9 top 10 picks. He's missed on one of them. Missed on one. All the rest were homers. The one he missed on was Tyler
homers.
The doubles, the homers. They were hits.
Markkanen is not even a double yet.
He's a bunt.
So he's still, all right.
He beat out an infield single.
He's not a miss yet, though. He's not a miss.
Right.
He's not a Floyd. He's not a White.
Kevin White.
And here's my point. When Pax missed on one, which was Tyrus Thomas, he played 3 years for the Bulls. And it was still a ton of questions on, hey, this guy's got a lot of talent. In fact, Charlotte wanted him bad, so did the Nets. What did Pax do?
He traded him for number one pick. But, Fred, that was how many years ago? And here's the difference. That when Ryan Pace saw an opportunity in Khalil Mack, he got a chance to get a true superstar.
Oh, gosh.
He goes, I don't care what it costs, I'm going to get him. When John Paxson and Gar Forman have seen opportunity, they stand in the corner and they let another team go after that star.
But that's not going to work, Sylvie. What matters is, can you identify talent in the draft? That's where it matters. How do you do when you get a top 10 pick? Ryan Pace has picked Kevin White.
Fred, there are two aspects here. You have to identify the talent, then you have to develop the talent. So if you find good talent, but that talent isn't developed because you have a coach that isn't good at developing talent, then aren't you really still just running in place?
Do you think Kobe White's not developing? How about Wendell Carter Jr.? I'm just saying, I think it's way too early. To bury these guys,
Fred. I can't
I
look. At, you proved it. You were the test tube here. Because when I want to know, how can Ryan Pace still back Mitch Trubisky after 3 years? This guy, Fred, after 17 years, is still going to bat for Pax. Still,
I still think because I like our young core. I'm not happy about the coach. I agree with you there, Nathan.
But listen, Fred, that's part of management. That's where like Ryan Pace is empowered to hire coaches, so he has to make the right decision.
Yeah, but to me, out of the two, if it's a right coach or right talent, the talent is what matters in the long run. It always matters. And how you can bomb on 3 top 10 picks like this leaves me serious questions about your vet. Not only that, we can go to tight end position, go on and on.
Right, Shaheen, I know. He's not perfect. I know that.
I have a lot more faith in John Paxson's ability to identify talent than I do in Ryan Pace.
All right, Fred.
And that's my only
Bulls
point. I love you guys.
Do the Bulls
continue
win?
Continue to have a great new year. You guys are the best.
I'm going to ask him there.
Listen, again, I think he can make a good case for identifying talent, but then you have to develop it. And part of developing the talent is hiring the right guy to develop your talent.
Mark Gingreco is waiting in the wings. He will tell us why he dressed in drag on New Year's Eve. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Mark. This is awesome. Drag racing on New Year's Eve. Great idea.
You didn't read your email.
Mark.
It is a drag club, not drag racing. Drag club. See it over there?
What?
Yeah. So, we're late. We got to go get into makeup and get your clothes on. So, let's go.
I don't get... What's the big deal?
Go.
I get makeup every night.
Go. Okay. Let's go.
There he was.
Mark, come on. Showtime. Hurry up.
He is all ready.
You're darn right I'm ready. Let's do this thing, huh?
Mark.
Hey, listen, do you think I could still race the car?
No.
Really?
Really.
That's okay, because I tell you, I feel almost as pretty as Chevrolet right now.
That was Marky on New Year's Eve. Oh, my God. It's always can't-miss television.
Be honest. You love the way you looked.
You know, I was a little disappointed. I mean, the makeup job was spectacular, but I look like an old lady because I was looking more for like a tighter, you know, kind of gold lamé top, showing some shoulders, arms, little hairy cleavage, you know, something like that.
Hairy cleavage. That should be your fantasy football team name.
That's good. Really
good. That's very good.
So those for those who didn't see and you couldn't tell by the audio.
Judging by the ratings, everybody saw.
Marky was in dressed in drag to open up the show.
Right.
And you guys did the show. And you guys did the show from
Lips on South Michigan. Great drag queen bar, restaurant. It was spectacular.
Who came up with the idea? Was that you?
Well, they picked that location, so naturally I got to jump in and embrace it. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. So I'm doing two shows nightly at Libs every weekend.
Now,
Marquita sent you.
Marquita. You know? Well, now, Marquita could add a kiss on New Year's, but you turned it down.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking Bears.
Yeah.
How about those Bears? Yeah, those aren't pillows. Right.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
No, I got to tell you, it was amazing. And Terrell Brown and Cheryl Scott opening the show again.
Fantastic.
Like, how could you top last year? Well, bam, they did. So that's a staple every year now. That is a major network special production right there.
Yeah, the way they opened, it was on top of the Navy Pier Bar. It's like the largest rooftop bar in the world or something they were billing it as. And they opened it. It was like a scene out of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
They were that good.
It was like a movie. They were that good.
That's fantastic.
The Twitter blew up, and of course, it's me with pictures of, you know, Cher, Tootsie, Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, go on and on. Flip Wilson, any actor, any comedian who's ever, you know, dressed as a woman. It takes a real man to dress like a
woman.
There
you go.
You know that. But the best one today, Colette, one of our stage people, she said to me, were you going for Cicero Mayor Betty Lauren Maltese with that look? You remember her?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Call.
And Mike Myers, when the character on Saturday Night Live, Linda Richman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember her?
Here's I tweeted out that picture now.
You know, that's pretty scary. So my sister texts me and she goes, you're one ugly woman. I go, I look just like you.
Oh, that's not nice.
Yeah. So that's going to be next year's Gian Greco Christmas card. And of course, my parents would have been proud, you know?
Well, great. So the ratings were through the roof as always?
Yeah, it was spectacular. It was great. And just a shout out to our tech crew. They did a great job. We had five locations. It truly was amazing. You know, we had acrobatic routines.
I think getting everything into that outfit was acrobatic-like.
Well, like I said, you know, I had my tuxedo pants and shoes on. I don't think I could have made it in heels, you know. But I wanted a little tighter top, you know. Maybe next time. I was just in feathers.
Yeah, I don't know what you do to top this now. Yeah. I think you just say, that's it.
That's going to be trouble
next year from a nudist club or something.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I couldn't get in the fire suit for the dragster, and I had trouble getting in the dress, so I got to drop 20. That's my resolution.
You were saying
for 2020,
that again, right?
I have to.
You told Janet what, in a few days? You've got to
By Friday. I told Janet she looked like Paula Poundstone with the bow tie and the jacket. You know, there was so much I wanted to say, but I couldn't say. But
how many drinks had you had?
None. I had just a little glass of champagne at midnight. But I have to tell you, at Lips, they fed us with the full New Year's thing. You know, steak, fish, anything you wanted.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Wow. I thought Meller had the best tweet, all in caps. Nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. What were you in where did I see it? You in the makeup chair and you whispered something. It seemed like a killer. Something like a killer.
I said, wait till they get a load of me. You know, just like the Joker. Because it was at the Joker stage at that point. So, you know, I'm walking down the street to work today and everybody's looking at me weird, you know. And
aren't you?
Yeah. But I feel like news makeup isn't enough now. You know, this is not quite enough.
You should have done the sports today dressed in the same.
You can't kill the bit. You just in and out. You can't perpetuate.
Yeah. I think one more time in that outfit. This
The most repeated line was, "I can't unsee that."
Yeah, people are still tweeting that to us.
Yeah,
who didn't see.
Hey, it takes a real man. to dress like a woman, like I said.
Okay.
All right. So,
Tommy, are you growing a beard? You going the other way?
No, I'm actually.
He's in vacation mode still. Yeah,
you look like a farmer who just fell off his truck.
That's true. I'm going to shave tomorrow morning.
By the way, love the picture of you and your father-in-law, Gino Capoletti. Yeah. That was a great shot.
Spent some quality time with Gino.
My best to him. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Awesome.
Gino Capoletti, for those who don't know, was an AFL star.
Yes.
He was the all-time leading scorer in Patriots history, right? Yeah.
In the AFL.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
For the Boston Patriots. Yes. Yes, he should.
10 years out of Minnesota.
60 to 70.
Yep. And he didn't play after the merger.
No. Nope.
Unfortunately, but he was spectacular. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We sat and watched the Patriots lose to the Dolphins.
Wasn't that awesome?
I have a funny story about that. I'm glad you brought that up. So this segment's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, simply the best. At LaSalle and the River, whether it's David Flom or Matt Moore, my case, Matty Moore with David on vacation. Yes. Matty Moore was looking out for me and my family on New Year's Eve.
Was he telling you the jokes, or did he say Matty's always got good jokes? Because the kids are, you know, too young for the jokes.
So we took the whole crew. And this is the first time, last year was the first time we included Mason. Mason last year was 4. So we're like, okay, let's do an early dinner, 6 o'clock seating. They do 2 seatings. We chose the early seating. We'll take the train down, we'll take a car service back.
You should have done the later seating because then you could have gone to the dispensary and had them smoke some weed for the first time. I'm with my kids.
I know. And we pulled that question too. We'll get to the dispensary talk here in a minute.
All right.
So anyway, and so this year we decided to take Braxton. And so the full family for the first time on New Year's Eve at Chicago Cut, the boys were good. So we go back to the table along the windows of walls.
Right.
And we're 2 away from the Gene Greco table.
Wow. Oh.
And the couple sitting next to us taps me on the shoulder. And they say, "We don't want to interrupt you." And they're sitting one next to the Gene Greco table. Mm-hmm. And they go, don't want to interrupt with you and your family. But it was funny. Because we've heard about Chicago Cut, because we listen to the show, we're big fans, and we've got to ask you, which table is the Gene Greco table? And I go, actually, you're in the table right next to it, which is pretty good landscape.
Could they feel the vibe? Yeah. Could they feel that? There's glitter on it now.
Is there?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know about the Gene Greco table.
Well, it's the best table in the house.
Was there glitter there when the last time you were there?
No, because I didn't bring my own. No. But I just can't imagine how much money they spend on makeup over at Lips. And all the performers do their own makeup. I mean, it took like an hour to get that look. And then we shot the bit in 15 seconds. But, you know.
When did you shoot it? Yeah, good question.
Well, probably like 6:30.
So it was a full day.
You're there at 4. Yeah. We're there at 4 o'clock setting up. You know, shoot the bit. And then Sunday we were out in Lincolnshire at TJ Zizzo's racing garage doing the drag car part of it. 1,100 horsepower Hemi dragster, the Rust-Oleum special, which was cool.
You had the headlights on, didn't you?
You should have just taped the countdown while you were at it. You taped half the show.
I couldn't get in the fire suit, couldn't get in the dress, as I said. So, you know, I couldn't even get the helmet on. That thing is so small, the cockpit for that.
You said cockpit,
yes,
right?
I did. Yeah. And
in the car.
See, I couldn't say any of this stuff on the air. You know, our executive producer calls me, and he sees a picture of me all made up, and he goes, "Wow, we didn't know you were going to go that far. We're going to have to call the general manager."
Really?
What? Yeah. And I'm like, what?
If you're going to...
We're in a drag queen bar, and I'm there doing a show. What do you expect?
Right. This is Mark Gene Greco. Mark Gene Greco doesn't do anything halfway.
No.
And so then, you know, John Idler, to his credit, thank you very much, boss. He said, yeah, go with it. It's fine. Just make sure he doesn't say anything.
Right. Be respectful.
Nasty. Because the MC of the event, you know, they get up there and they say, look, don't call us him. Don't call us, you know, it's she. Don't call us he, she. I mean, this is a culture. So we embraced it. It was a blast. It was really great.
Good for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get into all the, when I have time here, 312-332-3776. Let's get into some of the Bears. So we haven't seen you in a couple weeks. What you thought of the press conference?
I'm still ready to puke.
You ready? All right, good. So Mark Gene Greco brought to you, as always, by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. If you'd like to talk to Marky, or you saw him on New Year's Eve, or you want to ask him a Bears question,
or if you're scared of him, just, you know, stay away.
And it wasn't nightmare fuel for you. 332-3776. Marky will give us his opinions coming up next inside the First Midwest Bank studio. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Today's the beginning of a great new year for the Redskins organization and its fans.
Did he? He never corrected himself. That was Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins. Naming our
maybe
guy.
Maybe a little late. Maybe he didn't wish anyone happy Thanksgiving back in November.
Huh? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. What do you want from the worst owner in the NFL? Yes. Why, Ron? Why? Chico, please, why?
Well, he probably got... How much did he get paid? Has that been disclosed?
Oh, I don't know.
The first thing he said was, not about the money. And they don't even have a GM. So he must know who the GM is. And he gets to hire his staff. He's got Jack Del Rio. His buddy is the DC. But, you know, Ronnie, you could have held out. There are three other jobs you could have had.
The only thing that I was thinking about at first, that was my first blush reaction, was why would you want to work for that owner? But how long did Gruden last with the Redskins? Wasn't he at one time the longest tenured?
6 years.
He lasted longer than people thought. And I think Daniel's, like, you could get paid when you're in Washington.
Daniel Snyder told Rivera that he wants this to be his last job. That when his contract runs out, he'll be eligible
for
Medicare.
He was the head coach from 2014 to 2019. So 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 6 years, you're right.
Okay. So 6 years. Yeah. I mean, like, Jay Gruden wasn't the best coach, and he still lasted 6 years.
Yeah, but just having to work for that guy on a daily basis. I mean, it's the worst organization in football right now. And there's a controversy with the nickname and everything else. And, you know,
Ronnie,
is he going to get full reign?
Must have looked at the team and liked at least some of what he saw.
The quarterback, maybe? I don't like the quarterback.
The quarterback struggled, was very inconsistent this year.
You got a couple of good players on that team, but, God, if anybody can do it, he can, because he is a class act. He has immediate presence. He walked to the podium. You know, we all know Ron Rivera as a really steady, rock-solid player, a really good defensive coordinator, you know, a bear through and through. And why, you know, I thought Mike Ditka should have had him on his staff right away, but, you know, whatever. It's just a good luck to him. It's just that, man, you could have the Cleveland job. You could interview for the Cowboys job. Have we heard from Jason Garrett
yet? I was just going to ask. I mean,
is this ridiculous?
How do they not have their mind made up?
I have no idea.
Well, I think Jerry loves him so much because he's just his little puppet and always has been. And so they'll probably give him another job within the organization.
Is that what you think they're discussing? Like,
I don't know what
they're doing.
How can he walk around in the building, you know? Unless he's a quality control guy or a consultant or whatever,
quality control.
I think the Cleveland Browns, though, want probably an offensive-minded head coach because of all that they've invested.
Josh McDaniels.
Something, yes. Josh McDaniels.
I saw someone tweet that McDaniels may not want that because he'll have no power.
Well, he failed so miserably in Denver, he's probably as shell-shocked as anybody else. That's the first thing I think of. Yeah, Josh McDaniels interviewing for another job. You want another Denver situation? He wasn't ready. I know that was years ago, but he still might not be ready. He's one of those guys, great offensive coordinator, doesn't translate
to head
coach.
He's got a lot. I mean, on paper, there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of offensive talent.
And he's from there.
He's from the area. Canton McKinley High School, I believe, is where he went to school. Mm-hmm. So I think they also, Urban Meyer, I wouldn't rule out Urban Meyer.
Right. He's not a good guy. Urban Meyer. It's just
what? Why? Why would you just blurt that out?
He would just leave his kids at a bus stop or something. I don't know.
What leads you to say that?
You can't trust him.
Why?
You know, he might go for the big NFL money, though. You know.
Oh, I think he's in demand. Yeah, he'll coach again.
I think if the Cleveland Browns. Listen, I think they would take him today. It's just a matter of whether or not he would want that job.
He does a good job on Fox and FS1.
Just keeps getting worse for the Browns, though. I mean, just when you think they're there, the past year was as dysfunctional as it comes.
When they fired John Dorsey or they agreed to part company,
he's a whack, too. That guy.
Hey, buddy boy. Do we still have that when he caught Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, right.
I tell you what, though. He's had more hits than misses when it comes to talent evaluation.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield is a loose cannon who I happen to love, you know?
Well, you're a big fan of the loose
cannon. He needs a disciplinarian. He needs a guy who's going to bring structure.
All right, so...
Baker.
There it is.
Mr. Dorsey, how are you? I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Hey, let me ask you a question. I got you on speakerphone here. You want to be the first pick in the draft?
Yeah, I do.
Huh?
Yeah, I do.
Well, buddy boy, I want you to get excited here because... I'm going to put the card in here, and we're going to take you here with the first pick in the draft. I got to go back in the draft room here. I got the head coach want to talk to you, brother. I'm so excited for you, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow. But here's the head coach, brother.
Brother and buddy boy.
He called himself Mr. Dorsey.
It is Mr. Dorsey. All right, so what was your thought on the Bears press conference?
It was disgusting. It was exactly what I expected, but I was even horrified, even though I knew what was coming. Ryan Pace, just Mr. Plastic, he's the groundhog. He sees his shadow, he comes out once a year, and then we have 6 months of no playoffs again. It's just, he is the groundhog. I mean, it's the same crap every year. It's ridiculous. It's comical. What he was saying, it's like, are you serious?
Well, not last year. They were coming off of a year last year, 12-4.
His opening statement was like, you know, we failed to achieve our goals and all this.
We've got to put everything, like, what did he say? That we've got to do honest evaluations over the next several months? You think
he's going to have everybody. By the way, there's no doubt Mitch is our guy, and we love it.
How is that doing honest evaluation?
And Barry Rosner summed it up best. God, I love Barry. He says, okay, you fire an offensive coordinator who didn't call any plays.
Right.
You fire a tight end coach who didn't have any tight ends.
Right.
You just go right down the list. It's a joke. It's just to satisfy some angry fans or whatever, just to appease the media for a minute.
Well, listen, we all know, having been in this industry for a long time and been around the game, that happens. When you don't meet expectations, guys are going to lose their jobs, and there will be fall guys. There will be patsies. But the problem I had, and I think Sylvie shared the frustration, is you knew that. I mean, how do you not address that at the press conference?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they've released a statement that they were all, how long after? Hour?
Like an hour and a half. And they weren't, like, I think your wife thought that maybe.
My wife sent me a text and said, maybe they hadn't had a chance to.
You don't meet the media until you've met with all your coaches.
Of course
the media
you don't.
Stop is your last with
of
the exit
course.
Interview.
Now, I didn't hear the whole thing because I just couldn't. I was too busy doing other things, and I was on vacation. But, Chuck Garfine texted me, and he said it best. He goes, we needed Brad Palmer there to ask the tough questions.
I thought the media did well.
Did the media drop the ball?
No. They asked him directly, are there going to be staff changes?
And what was their answer?
Ryan said, you have to ask Matt. That's Matt's department.
Oh,
Matt
geez.
Said, Matt
you
said,
ask Ryan.
He goes, we've talked about that everything is open at this point or something. I don't know if we have that exact answer, but that we haven't gotten to all
of it. It's a tap dance. It's a total tap dance.
Well,
you know
didn't
what?
Want to answer the questions.
Don't have the news conference then until everything's in line. And then you can address that.
The media as a whole did a great job. I mean, JD,
I thought so too.
JD and Dan Weider, too, were really bulldogs about it. They gave
they're the best.
They gave Pace an opportunity to go ahead and say what he wanted to say. And then based on his answers, they rolled up their sleeves and asked direct questions.
Good.
Follow-ups.
And never got any really satisfying answers.
Yeah, they're never going to be satisfied. It's just going to be a tap dance. I mean, when has Ryan Pace ever been specific and forthcoming and transparent about anything?
Well, he was about Mitch.
Well,
and listen, that's
we knew that was coming.
Yeah, that's
but
what
for
I
him
expected.
To say it, for him to say that, it's just like, it was so creepy. It was just, okay, I get it. This is the last year. This is it. And then he's going to be crap again, and then they're not going to sign him to big deal.
I think what's creepy is that you've got four coaches that are fired an hour and a half after the press conference.
There you go.
And you didn't want to answer the questions about, well, why let go of an offensive coordinator that wasn't calling plays? What was it about Mark Helfrich that you didn't see eye to eye? Harry Hiestand has a tremendous reputation, both the NCAA level and the NFL level. What was it about? What happened there? What didn't work out?
You know, that was chicken blank. That was spineless.
That to me was like everything else I kind of expected that they were going to.
You know, a lot of organizations do that. They do that. You know, they'll meet the media and then, you're putting your show together, whatever, and all of a sudden
they drop it.
Oh, you're going to release this at 6:01.
The Blackhawks used to be notorious before Rocky owned, before he was in charge of the team.
Yeah.
They would drop, hey, by the way, during Cubs Sox on a Friday at 5, Pat Foley, we're firing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Let's do that on a Saturday morning.
Brian's in Logan Square. Brian, you're in with Marky. Say hello.
Hey, hello. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Frustrated fan, but thinking about the preseason next year, realistically, I know the starters and Mitch or whoever a quarterback isn't going to play every game, but how many games can we really see him playing before we really know, who's if he's going to be our starter or not? And then the rest of the offense, the other position players, I mean, I know the O-line, it's a bunch of veterans, but, they got to start or at least have some reps together to build that continuity. So realistically, in the preseason, how much time are these guys going to get?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, obviously the trend has been that they won't play at all because they value health over experience or getting themselves any type of.
Well, Tommy, what do you think? If you put on your coaching hat, as Sylvie always says, you know, what would you do?
I would still listen. It depends on the team. I have a pretty simple, you know, kind of feeling about things. If it's good enough for the Patriots, it should be good enough for you. Tom Brady plays in the preseason. Now, again, that's kind of just a blanket statement, but when you have a young quarterback, which is
who needs reps,
second year in the system, I thought it was very appropriate that they do some things in the preseason, and they decided that they value the health of their team over any of the experience that you'll get in the preseason.
I just think it's an absolute joke at this point. This kid is—he's going to work hard again. He's going to try to get it done. He can't get it done. He's not capable of it. We've seen enough now.
41 games.
Yeah, 41 games. Okay, you're 4 years in. You should know. You should absolutely know. And it's just, this is a joke. So they're just going to string it along and delay them getting another quarterback after next season. That's exactly how it's going to play out.
Well, they're
going to
wait till they have a first-round pick, more than likely.
Right, yeah. But they probably won't be bad enough to still get a top-tier quarterback next year.
And who's
going to
be around then? Because, you know, Joe Burrow's going this year, and he's going to be stuck in Cincinnati,
the poor kid. No one would have projected Joe Burrow to be Joe Burrow last year.
He left Ohio State, yeah. Sure.
So, I mean, maybe
the
somebody...
Herbert kid from Oregon, he had a good game.
He did, but...
You know.
You have a really quick, David Stern. You got suspended because of stuff you said once, yeah. Because David Stern heard about it, right?
Absolutely. NBC and the NBA were shocked at what I said, of course, and I deserve the suspension. But
tell everyone what you said.
I said, you know, it seems like the NBA Finals are rigged because you had Hugh Hollins doing game 6 and 7, and he hated the Bulls. And Dick Versace is my partner at the time, and he was freaking out. His hair spun out of the turban that he was wearing. But it was, it was another one of my ridiculous off-the-cuff, you know, sarcastic remarks. But David Stern, to me, one of the greatest commissioners in all of sports. I mean, the guy was so cool, so laid back, so calm about everything, just handled every crisis with such dexterity. He was cool about everything. Thought everything through. He wasn't afraid to get in front of the microphone at the podium at any time. I mean, round and round today, all day long, you heard about. Remember when he imposed a dress code?
Yes.
And that was just to market because, you know, Jalen Rose this morning was saying the same thing. You know, in the 70s, the NBA was hitting rock bottom.
Right.
A lot of drugs. Drug-filled league. So much bad press. Nobody cared. They had to resurrect that in the 80s. And thank God you had Bird and Magic and Michael. And, you know, the Admiral and all these people and Olajuwon. But he put that all together. He expanded the league.
Yeah,
he extended the charity branch, the WNBA, everything else. But he handled everything like a really dignified, experienced politician.
Yeah, well, wrote a good article on ESPN.com about David Stern. By the way, join Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Ohio State, Iowa, Michigan, and Purdue. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com.
Dan Orlovsky is coming up next. He told Cap that the Bears should not draft a quarterback with one of their 2 second-round
picks.
He's
my new favorite analyst, by the way.
Yeah, so you'll hear that coming up next. Black and Abdallah, great stuff at 7 o'clock, live and local.
Do you really have great stuff?
They always do.
Do you?
Those two guys.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barstool Big Cat, Mark Jean Greco, thank you.
How about some makeup tips in the show? Yes. You need that? Okay.
Yes, Marky will be back tomorrow with
makeup tips.
Makeup tips. I still have glitter in my hair and a song in my heart.
Thanks to Mellor and Abdallah. Everyone was back together. It was great today. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night. It's the classic.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Doss, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.